May I speak and may we all hear in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, I'll be focusing on our reading from Matthew's Gospel. We know up to this point in Matthew's Gospel that the responses to Jesus have been varied. Some have left everything they have to follow him. Others are still sitting on the fence, unsure. And still others, including many religious leaders, reject him altogether. Through these parables, he invites people to imagine and see the kingdom of God from a different perspective. His first hearers believed the kingdom of God would come, but they had a set idea in their minds of what it would look like. Jesus challenges those expectations. And so our five parables this morning invite the hearer to ask questions about the kingdom of God. Firstly, is the kingdom present? Is it here? What is its worth? And does my response matter? Firstly, is the kingdom really here? For many people at the time when Jesus was speaking, it didn't look like what they thought it would look like. Jesus was not overthrowing Roman rule, and in fact, for most of his ministry, they paid no attention to him. If Jesus was bringing about the kingdom of God, if God had come near, where was the mighty defeat of evil? Where was the liberation of Israel? Jesus answers the questions of the crowds by telling two parables, using analogies from people's everyday lives. The first, the parable of the mustard seed. We're told the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. The plant, the mustard plant, grows from something so small that could easily be lost, picked up by birds, or just blown away by the wind, into a large plant that can reach several metres tall and is hard to ignore. The second parable is that of the leaven, the yeast or the leaven. And to make leavened bread, you need to take a small bit of fermented dough from the previous batch and then work that into the new flour. The leaven in our parable would have been so small, especially compared to the amount of flour Jesus talks about here. 30 kilograms, enough to feed a small village. You wouldn't know that the leaven was in the dough until you see its effect throughout the whole dough. Both the growing of a plant and the rising and fermenting of dough takes time and requires patience. Jesus says that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It may look small or even insignificant. It may be hidden from those with the unwillingness to see it or the unwillingness to be patient. But it is here nonetheless. God's reign has begun. His reign has begun in Jesus, and it is one of righteousness, peace, and joy. And it will one day renew the whole of creation, just like the leaven works through the whole of the dough. And so our acts of faithfulness, which witness and demonstrate his kingdom, matter. They matter. No matter how small or insignificant they may feel to you, God's kingdom often works through those small acts of obedience and love. And it's in that conviction that I serve as National Director of Threshold Ministries. We work with people experiencing homelessness, recovering from addiction, coming out of prison. those who are struggling and vulnerable. And so we trust that the small, often hidden, but faithful work of building relationships and seeking to serve those who are marginalised and vulnerable in our communities, we trust and see that this is exactly where God grows his kingdom. You never know what God will do with something or someone that seems small or insignificant. And we know the cross itself reflects the same pattern. What looked weakest, what looked the most insignificant, became God's greatest victory. So the kingdom is here. What is its worth? Our second set of parables is the hidden treasure and the pearl. And the shift focuses from the kingdom being hidden but present to its discovery and the response that it draws out. Jesus says in verse 44 that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. We see in the parable of the hidden treasure that the man just stumbles upon it. He wasn't looking for treasure, he just happened to find it. And the man was so delighted, so filled with joy at his finding, he sold all he had. He counted the treasure more worthwhile than anything and everything he could have owned. But we read the merchant was looking for something of value. Pearls in the ancient world were often considered the most valuable object in existence. They were of supreme worth. And so when he found a pearl of great value, more than he could ever have hoped for or imagined, he sold it. He sold everything he had to buy it. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus says. Treasure, a pearl of supreme value. Whether you're searching for it or just stumble across it, doesn't matter. Do you recognise its worth? And some of us do just stumble across Jesus, don't we? Maybe you were happily living your life until someone introduced you to Jesus, and you realised, wow, this is treasure. You experience the life that he brings. And sometimes we don't realise we are lost or in need until we are found by Jesus and put our trust in him. Others, like the merchant, are searching for something precious. Maybe searching for meaning. Maybe recognise a dissatisfaction within themselves or with how the rest of the world is and works. We see that belonging to Jesus is worth more than everything we have and ever could own. Giving our all, making him our central priority, is a joy and a gain of treasure, rather than a loss, because in him is life and redemption and restoration. This is something that the rich young man later in Matthew chapter 19 didn't recognize. He went away sad from Jesus, if you recall the story, because he didn't realize that following Jesus was more precious, offered life in all its fullness, much more than all the wealth he could ever accumulate. I wonder, is there something that you refuse to surrender because you secretly think it's more precious than Jesus. Notice in both these parables, the treasure and the pearl of great price, the joy comes before giving everything or anything. It's the recognition of the generous gift of grace offered to us in Jesus that naturally leads to joy and the radical response of offering everything. Thirdly, does my response truly matter? We come to the last of our parables in our passage this morning, the parable of the net. And this parable is slightly different from the other four. It's about God's sovereignty and action and talks about the kingdom at the end of the age. The net in this parable is a seine net. I know someone in the 8 o'clock told me how to, told me how to say that, and I still stumble. It's the dyslexia, honestly. A dragnet, which would have commonly been used in Galilee, in Lake Galilee. And the dragnet catches everything in its path. And then when the net was full, we hear the fishermen would drag it to shore and then sort out the good fish from the bad fish. This, Jesus says, is what the kingdom of God is like. The whole process of dragnet fishing, it's not something that would necessarily come to my mind, but this is what Jesus says. Even as the kingdom is present and coming, we see there is still evil in the world. But at the end of the age, evil will be dealt with. And we hear the uncomfortable image of weeping and gnashing of teeth and fire. And it is uncomfortable, even when we desire for evil to be dealt with in ourselves and on a larger worldwide scale. Jesus is saying that there will be a time of judgment, both a promise and a warning. We see that God has not abdicated. Evil will not have the last word in our world. And so how we live, how we respond to Jesus and his message does matter. Will we be like the religious leaders of his day who reject the kingdom? Will we work against Jesus's kingdom of righteousness, joy, and peace? If we do, we see that we will find ourselves on the outside of the kingdom of God, where there is exclusion and anguish and bitter regret, captured in Jesus's image of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But there is also comfort, as we know. None of us would stand among the righteous apart from Jesus. We are all in need of his mercy and grace. And through his death and resurrection, he makes sinners righteous and brings us into God's family. So three questions and three answers. Is the kingdom of God here? Yes. Hidden like a seed, working in the world like dough, like leaven in dough, already present and unstoppably at work through Jesus and his Holy Spirit in the world. What is it worth? We see everything. Those who truly see give everything with joy. Does my response matter? It does. The net of the kingdom, we read, is already in the water, and the day of sorting will come. Now, I don't think we're to leave wondering whether we've been good or bad fish, been good enough fish. None of us are. But I think we're to ask ourselves whether we've entrusted ourselves to the King whose kingdom has already begun. Do we entrust ourselves daily to him? And do our lives witness to him and his coming kingdom. Thank you.